Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Alice Gingras here on Redbox Media. Good morning. I hope you are all well today. I hope that you are just enjoying the spring. I hope you're getting spring weather. Alex and I were just talking about the weather. We're having gorgeous weather up here in the Northeast. I think, you know, God still owes us a couple of really nice days from that winter we had a few years ago when things were just, you know, we had 19,000 feet of snow. So happy to get some sunny days, to get some walking done, to just breathe air that isn't filled with snow. Well, we have today, we're starting a very special book from Greece. Oh, good way to start. Really? I don't even think I made a whole minute. From Grief to Grace, The Journey from Tragedy to Triumph, from our friend, my friend, Jeannie Ewing. She's been on the show twice before. Such an amazing, just beautiful woman. Just someone so inspiring. Her website, For Love Alone, creates, talks about her daughter Sarah and her Apert syndrome. Just the cutest little kid on the planet. Hearing from Jeannie on Friday when she comes as our guest. I know I'm a little discombobulated this morning, and I apologize for that. Today is my daughter's first day of June vacation. She goes to school 11 months a year because she is deaf, and her school goes 11 months because of her disability and her delay, because she was almost four before she even started to learn how to communicate when we adopted her from China. But she's a little delayed, so she goes to a beautiful, special, awesome school, just the best school in all the world, if you ask me, specifically for the deaf, and they go 11 months a year. So she gets a June vacation, and then she'll go back for all of July. But today was the first day of that. And you know what that means? That means that 5:30 a.m. no longer needs to be a part of my vocabulary. But you know what I discovered? I discovered that when I decided to sleep in this morning, which I mean sleep in as in 7 a.m. instead of, or all right, 7:30 a.m., who am I kidding? Instead of 5:30 a.m., you lose a few hours of your day. Already, I stayed up later thinking that was somehow that would balance it, like getting in the same number of hours in a day. But no, I went from being a night owl who got all her best work done at night to somebody who really needs the morning. And so I'm a little discombobulated because I was just missed a few hours of awakeness. So apologize for that. We're going to pull myself together as best as Allison can. And we are going to be looking at the book From Grief to Grace. Oh, I can see that's going to be a challenge for the next 3 days. And don't miss Jeannie Ewing, E-W-I-N-G, Jeannie Ewing's interview with me here on Friday Live, 10 a.m. Love having her on. You think you will absolutely love her as much as I do. I'm going to pick up with that book in the second segment. This segment, I just wanted to share with you something and kind of get your thoughts on it. If you want to call in, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. That's also a text number, 573-4BREAD-4. I know I keep saying I'm going to learn the digits so I can tell you, but it's kind of fun to figure out the puzzle. What letters are BREAD? It's not hard. You can also, if you prefer, you can leave me a message on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook, or send an email, allison@breadboxmedia.com. Goodness gracious, we live in a world where it's really, really hard not to reach somebody, isn't it? So here's my thought and what I want to share with you. For a very long time, I have felt I'm going to be very general for now because I have to be, and I apologize for that up front. I hate when people vague, like read something on Facebook and people are being like so vague. My husband calls it vague booking. Like, I hate to be vague, but I have to be for now. Just but I think the generality can actually help to help you see that you're not the only ones, probably something in your life that fits this as well. Anyway, so the I feel like the Lord's been calling me for a very long time to do something, and I haven't really figured out how to do it, or you know, I've tried different ways. Well, over the last week or so, it has started to evolve and kind of take on a life of its own. What I thought the Lord was calling me to do, it's being called to, but I'm being called to do it in a different way. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry for being so vague, but I promise you, you'll be the first to know when I can start talking about it. But the problem is, and when I spent time talking to my spiritual director with yesterday, a spiritual director, mine is a deacon. It's just somebody that helps me with my spiritual questions. I make him crazy because my life, my vocation and my career are so closely tied with my spirituality that it makes him crazy. He always says, I wish you just raised collies instead of did ministry, because it's too hard sometimes to just talk about my spirituality because it's so intertwined with my career, my work, my job. But, you know, I think about St. Paul, who said that we should pray without ceasing, and that every part, God wants to be part of every part of our life. I mean, if he knows the number of hair on our heads, that's kind of indication that he wants to be very intimate with us, and that he's given us this life and he's given us these vocations, whatever that may be, that call, that career. I think it makes sense that everything needs to be intertwined, but it makes Deacon Jerry crazy sometimes. But this time it's very much intertwined. So we spent some time yesterday speaking on the phone, and here's my problem and where I'm really stuck. See, I've had brilliant ideas in the past. Well, at least I thought they were brilliant ideas, and I thought they were definitely coming from God. I thought 100% God is saying, do this and do this now. And I've done them, and they've not gone so well. They have not gone the way I thought they did. Interestingly, I was speaking to somebody also. I spent a lot of time on the phone lately, and I'm not a phone person. So this has been kind of interesting, but it's been very necessary because it's helping me discern. And that's the point I'm trying to get to the very long way around, is that it's discerning God's will. I'm going to get back to the phone call in a minute. But discerning that will of God, like which one is correct? Like, did God call me to do that stuff? And, you know, I was called to it. Perhaps I just didn't prepare well enough and I didn't listen to God after the call. I said, oh yeah, that's a great idea. And I ran with it instead of, I feel like I prayerfully turned to him and asked for his will in all things, but it's not the easiest task in the world to do that. Like, you think you are, you don't want to bug him. You know, he's God. He's got a lot to do. I don't want to bug him. I forget that he's omnipotent and omnipotent and omni-everything. And he can do everything at once. He's the multitasker of multitaskers. God is our multitasker of multitaskers. I'm writing that down because I think that's funny. I think we need to make a meme out of that. Anyway, so I have this idea. Actually, I kind of feel like it's God's idea because I had a different idea and it's just evolved into something really cool. Oh my goodness, I can't wait to tell you about it. I know, I'm so sorry. Just teasing it along, but trust me, when I know the details, so won't you, but it seems so incredible and just exactly what I've been praying for. So just trying to discern God's will, you know, taking my walk every day, praying the rosary or doing my walk with my guardian angel after having Mike Aguilina on talking about Angels of God out from Servant Books. Love this book. It's from 2009, which ironically is the year that I started Reconcile to You Ministries, which maybe it's not ironically, maybe it's Godcidentally. So Godcident, by the way, is the word that I coined. I know other people say God incidents. I'm probably not the first person to think of this, but back in 2006, one day I thought of a coincidence. The world sees it as a coincidence, but I can't help but see God in it. So I call it a Godcident. People say God incidents or God wink, God moment, but I like Godcidents. Just put it all together. Anyway, so perhaps it's a coincidence that it came out in 2009. But taking that walk with my guardian angel and just really seeking her guidance, because, you know, we do that prayer to light and guide, to rule and guard. And I only used her to guard me, you know, like getting in the car, you know, protect me, or walking down the street or whatever. But our guardian angels have such a greater role in our life. And that's to enlighten us, to guide us. So in this walk, I've been, you know, getting this inspirations, trying to act on them. And they're absolutely evolving into something I never saw coming. But, you know, trying to have that clarity. Yesterday I went to adoration, and I usually, you know, I always end up on my phone, even if it's just to check the time, you know, just to see if there's any prayer requests or to check on my family. Yesterday I left it in my purse. And at some point I ended up alone in adoration chapel, which is such a blessing. And I just went right to my face, quite honestly, with you, just laid it down on my face and just asked the Lord to reveal, what is it you want? Please let this be from you and not from me. And back to that conversation before we run out of time in the segment, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, sharing them the idea, trying to get their insights. And, you know, one of the things that she reminded me is that right before there's an outpouring of blessings from God, there's usually an attack, a heaviness, a kind of a testing of your spirit, just to see if you're ready, preparing your spirit, you know, because tests are things to let us know if we're ready, but they're also things to prepare us, you know, our exercise for our spiritual readiness. And the other thing that she said that was so interesting is that there's a review. I love that she said this. Actually, I was talking to Sonia Corbett, who Pursuing the Summit's a host here on the weekends. And she's a Bible study evangelista. You need to listen to this woman. She's so wise. And she said, there's a review that the Lord provides you to see where all those mistakes and missteps and even your successes have prepared you for this moment. And when she said that, it was just an overwhelming feeling of aha and peace, because that's what's been happening on my walks lately. The Lord has shown me over and over and over again all these different vehicles he's given me that have provided me the skills I need to do what I feel like I'm being called to do, the mistakes and the lessons I've learned from them. So discerning God's will is super hard sometimes, but only because we make it that way. God is certainly not going to call us to something and then not help us to do it. We get back from these messages, we're going to look at From Grief to Grace. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart. Oh my goodness, I put my headphones up too loud and the music just completely rattled me. Oh my goodness, some days I'm a goof. All right, I'm a goof all days, but some days it just comes out loud. Anyway, we're going to be talking a lot more about discerning God's will. I'm pondering so much about it. I'm going to be writing a blog post about it, hopefully tonight for tomorrow, posting it, just a coincidence, just all the ways that I feel like the Lord kind of reveals his plans to us. Like, I don't want to get too excited and it be all Allison and not be God. So there's like that patience that comes from waiting that out. Like, I know Virginia Lito, our friend here, Jeannie Lito, who writes over on virginialito.com all about the vices and the vices. No, she doesn't. She writes about the virtues. I'm the one with the vices. She's the one with the great advice on the virtues. Every time I speak with her about, you know, some of the things going on, or she sees posts, she'll say, great opportunity to practice your patience, to learn that beautiful virtue of patience. So to step back and not be squirrel girl and not to go running into the street. Actually, I saw the funniest post the other day. I think it came from Diana Von Glahn, the Faithful Traveler. I need to put it up because it just made me laugh. It said, Just make a decision. The roads are filled with decision for with the roads are filled with flattened squirrels who couldn't make up their minds. That's me. I don't want to be a flattened squirrel. I think I just need to make a decision and trust that the Lord is guiding me. And you know, I don't know about you, but I will ask God, just I don't want signs and wonders to be you know, because I need him to prove him that he's real to me, though sometimes I need him to prove that he's real to me. But I just want to be sure, you know, and I don't think that that's unjust to ask. You know, again, my spiritual director, I make him crazy by my signs and wonders, always looking for my God-sidences in the world, for my butterflies and my roses and my fidelity trucks. But I feel like the Lord put those on my heart for a reason, you know, that I couldn't make them happen if I wanted to. And if I could, then I have some great power, but I don't. And it's not like I see a rose and then I think, oh, you know, blah, 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 the Lord's doing this. No, I'm thinking something. I mean, the trucks especially, you know, I could be in my home. My house faces a major highway and I'm in the window often. Just, you know, my desk is there and I pray there. I do my walking in place to meet my extra step goal. True story. Or, you know, I just listen to music and I just stare out the window and I just, you know, just people do that, right? So even for me, just be walking by the window sometimes and be in thought with the Lord about something and then the truck goes by. Like, I can't make those things happen. So I could dismiss them and say, oh, that was the craziest coincidence. I have the weirdest sense of, you know, imagination. But I don't. I don't, because I believe God is at work in my life. Like, I can't say, Lord, I believe in you, and then not accept the way that he reveals himself to me. And for me, it's butterflies and roses and fidelity trucks. I don't know how he reveals himself to you. I'm so sorry. Pine allergies, they need to go away. We need a rainstorm. Here I'm talking about the beautiful weather and I just want it to rain. I'm ready for the rain. Like, so the Lord does reveal himself to me in these ways. And you know, and just really taking that to prayer and saying, all right, Lord, was this from you? Was this of me? Am I searching high and low for these things? Like, one little example before we move on to from grief to grace, the journey from tragedy to triumph, Jeannie Ewing, Sophia Institute Press, our book this week. I got in the mail, you know, one of those red bills. Those are my favorites. I thought I had a little bit longer. I thought I had, you know, paid it. I didn't. I hate that, and even worse, when you think you've taken care of something and you've just ADD'd it and you haven't. Anyway, I was, I got the red bill and I said, well, I should probably go through the rest of this bill. I have like a little holder of bills. A little like basket. So I probably should go through the rest of these before something else shows up in my mail and destroys my day. So I started to go through it and I'm getting very anxious. I'm just getting very worried. Like, oh my gosh, like here's another bill. Oh, I didn't forget about this one. I just didn't realize, you know, you just that mounting fear. Like, I know, Lord, that you love me and that you have your providence and that you will take care of me. But why are we still in this situation? And like trying to be patient and understand that the Lord's teaching me in his delay. His delay doesn't mean he's not listening to my prayers. It just means it's not time yet. I haven't learned what I need to learn, or the timing isn't right. God's ways are not my ways. Isaiah 55, not my favorite Bible verse, but one I obviously have memorized. So I'm going through and I like just, you know, one after another. And then I pull out this piece of paper, kind of perplexed, like, why is this paper in here? Because it should just be bills. And I unfold it. And it's a note from somebody who's, I did a retreat at their church. And she had sent me this, you know, out of the blue extra, they had raised a little extra money and they did a little extra donation to the ministry. The check's already in the deposit. So it wasn't the check, but it was the stationery that when I opened this a month ago, I failed to notice at all that the stationery was covered in butterflies and roses. And for the fact that I put it in the bill box instead of the filing cabinet, like all of these things I could just dismiss, but I didn't. I started to cry, actually, because I get very overwhelmed when God reveals himself. I think that's a pretty substantial response, right? If God's revealing himself to you, you're going to cry. You're going to get overwhelmed. But just that peace that I got from saying, okay, God knows right now what I'm going through. God knows our struggles. He knows what we need. He knows that we are lacking and that we're trusting with all that we have to trust him with. And he's got it, you know, like he's got us into the palm of his hands, and not to be worried that he has forgotten us. He hasn't forgotten us. And perhaps you need to know that too. The God has not forgotten you. Maybe you're not seeing butterflies or roses. I get that all the time. The people complain, God doesn't send me a truck. Maybe my eyes are just way too open for them. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too hard. But it comes from that very childlike trust in God, believing that you are, that he does care and that he does want to reveal himself. Faith like a child is, it's a humbling, it's an obedience, it's a learned behavior. It's, you know, a couple of times it's going to happen and you're going to shake it off and be like, that was too weird. Like that, I'm making that happen or I'm imagining that. But let God in. Just put down your defenses, put down your fears and your worries and all those things that you think couldn't possibly happen to you. Let God in, and he's going to knock your socks off. I can't even begin to tell you in what ways God is going to knock your socks off. So let him in and start looking for whatever it is that he wants to show you. So I'm going to take my butterflies and my roses. I'm going to pay that bill with the little money I have left. And trust, the next time I have to pay something, it's going to be there. That money that I have happens to be for a furnace. Gratefully, I don't need one till October. There's some time for the Lord to fix things. And I'm not going to worry. Have anxiety in nothing, but in everything through prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, make your request to God, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will guide your heart and mind. Philippians 4:6. And then we look at Matthew 6. If God takes care of the birds with such splendor, with such care, they don't put things in their storehouses, yet they're always fed and they're always sheltered and they're always clothed. So won't we be? Because how much more important are we to God than the birds? And I love Matthew 6 ends with, can any of you add a single moment to your lifespan by worrying? We can't. We can't add a single moment out of worry. God tells us in Philippians, worry about nothing, pray about everything. And then he shows us before that in Matthew through Jesus's teaching that God knows what we need, shelter, food, clothing. He knows our needs, and he's not going to leave us out in the cold. Perhaps you feel like, well, maybe those needs aren't being met. And you're thinking, well, where is God? Well, I don't know how to answer that, to be quite honest. All I know is that it's his promise. So somehow, some way, those will be met. Those will be met. And I'm going to pray that those are met for you in a big and most glorious way, that there's no way of missing in your heart or in your life that they're being met by God. And if there's any way that we can help, send me a message, Allison@breadboxmedia.com. And I will make sure that your clothing, your food, your shelter are being met. Those corporal works of mercy, each and every one of us being called to be the hands and feet of God in the world and making sure that nobody is left out in the cold. God is so good and caring and loving. Let's let him love on us, right? Yeah, I got through this whole segment and just realized I still haven't gotten to From Grief to Grace. Hey, that never happens here much. I will get to it. We come back from these messages. I just feel like the other stuff God put on my heart to say, and I'm sure somebody, me, needed to hear it. I love when he talks to me through me. Such a good and funny God. If you have anything to join, share. I don't know. Share something. 573-4BREAD4. 573-4BREAD-4. Hey, and don't forget to check out Friend of the Show. I've updated my show page over at breadboxmedia.com. Check that out. We'll be right back with more of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please don't go away.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Yes, I've lost my mind. I really didn't have very far to go before it fell apart, before I lost it. That analogy just didn't hold up together at all. That's what I like writing. Writing, I can go back and go, yeah, that doesn't connect. Today, my blog post is a reposting of one that I once called, Shedding of the Inner Pharisee. And today, as I was reposting it, I realized that it wasn't my inner self that I was trying to shed. It was actually my outer. Like, you don't even know what you're talking about. So I renamed it today. You can go over to reconciledto.com and read Shedding My Pharisee Facade, my outside appearance versus my inward. You know, I'm one of those people who is not such a do as I say, not as I do person, but a do as I do and not as I fail to say kind of person. I'm getting, obviously, as the Lord is opening up more and more channels, I'm doing more speaking about what the Lord does in my heart and how he has completely transformed this wayward girl to somebody who tries so hard every day to seek his will. Though I laugh when I say that, I try so hard. God's like, I would never, I feel like he tells me this all the time. And if you look at his word, he makes it clear. He'd never ask us to do something that's impossible. You know, he'd never say, you know, I'm calling you to this holiness or this sainthood or this way of life. He'd never say, do this, but I'm going to make it impossible for you to do. And I'm going to sit here in heaven and laugh while you're struggling to get there. Everything that the Lord asks us is completely within our realm. I think it's my free will that gets in the way. Speaking of my free will, well, this had nothing to do with that. Terrible segue. But I kind of alluded to at the end of the last segment, new on Breadbox Media, you can become a friend of the show. This is a way for you to help support your favorite Breadbox Media show. Could be A Seeking Heart. It could be Pursuing the Summit or The Catholic Foodie. Or an Engaging Faith with Elizabeth Reardon. So many wonderful programs here on Breadbox Media. If you've not checked that out, or some of our new podcast shows, you can do that now on breadboxmedia.com. And to become a friend of the show, you can click on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. You can see the link. I was not intentionally, but because I started with an A, with A Seeking Heart, I'm the first one that pops up. Go me. Just easier to find. For $10 more a month, you can become a premium member, and that includes your choice of a prayer squirrel or a rosary bracelet. 10 extra entries in every giveaway. This week's giveaway is a copy of the movie Risen, so good. And A Little Sin Means a Lot, the new book out from Elizabeth Scalia. That's one prize. Then you can win one of three copies of A Single Bead by Stephanie Engelman, thanks to Pauline Books and Media, or a copy of this week's book that I will eventually get to. From Grief to Grace, The Journey from Tragedy to Triumph, Jeannie Ewing. I love this woman. And this is from Sophia Institute Press. So excited to bring this book to you. Yes, we're getting to it. Anyway, you also can, the friend of the show, you get a once a month Google Hangout, exclusive content. Go to breadboxmedia.com, click on A Seeking Heart for more information, or send me a message, allison@breadboxmedia.com. Happy to answer any of your questions ever. I love it. I get people who send me ask me for book recommendations, people who just, you know, have a question about the faith, who just need prayer. I'm just just so grateful to be on this journey with you. You just have no idea how much you mean to me. I pray for you. I'm so excited to be a part of your journey, and I really want to know you better. So please, Allison@breadboxmedia.com, let me know about yourself and what I can do to help you on your spiritual journey. It is a journey. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes us until we see Jesus's face. And I don't know about you, but I kind of want to be ready for that. I don't think I ever will be, but, and that's part of actually, okay, there's a segment that actually worked, a segue that actually worked. From Grief to Grace, The Journey from Tragedy to Triumph, from Jeannie Ewing, Sophia Institute Press. Just let you know a little bit about this book. Jeannie Ewing is no stranger to suffering. Her family has long struggled with bipolar disorder and depression, and her baby daughter, Sarah, was born with a rare genetic disorder that caused her bones to fuse together prematurely. Despite the many layers of sadness, loss, confusion, and anger, Jeannie responded to God's calling and transformed her life into one with profound purpose and joy. Combining her training in psychology and counseling with real-life examples, Jeannie shows you that there is much life to be lived in the midst of loss, and that even the most painful life experiences are working for a greater good. Again, this is out from Sophia Institute Press, From Grief to Grace. We'll be talking about it for the remainder of today, tomorrow, and Jeannie will join me, God willing, on Friday morning, 10 a.m. So let's look at grief. And Jeannie's talking about or sharing with in the prologue here, what purpose does grief have in our life? She writes, over time, it occurred to me that a book on grief from a spiritual viewpoint, supplemented with my own personal antidotes, might benefit innumerable people. There are many obvious and pertinent reasons for this. One, grief is universal and does not discriminate. Grief is a language all people understand. Sadly, I think, you know, that makes sense to me, right? How many of us have lost somebody we loved? But I love that Jeannie goes further. It's one of the things that drew me into Jeannie's ministry, From Grief to Grace and from lovealonecreates.com. You can check out more Blogspot over there. Her blog over there. Did I say Blogspot? Maybe it's because it is Blogspot. I will look that up. I promise. And I will have Jeannie's. It's probably here. I will have her. Actually, you know what? Here we go. I'm always the professional. I know. It shows. Your professionalism is showing, Allison. Not. Go to sophiainstitute.com/from grief to grace. You can get more information. I'll have that link in the show notes. sophiainstitute.com/from grief to grace. You can also find Jeannie on Twitter, From Grief to Grace. And linking up today, actually over at ReconciledToYou.com. Don't miss today's link up. It's called Worth Revisit Wednesday. We have usually over 20 different Catholic bloggers who share their blogs with us on ReconciledToYou.com. Good stuff. So what I like about Jeannie in this From Grief to Grace and her ministry is that she isn't just about how grief is for when we've lost someone to death. But there are so many other incidences where that feeling of grief, that process of grieving something is necessary for her. She talks about the birth of her daughter. You know, when you're pregnant and you're preparing for your child, you have, whether you mean to or not, you start to have dreams for that child. You start to envision your life together, what their life will be like. And it doesn't usually entail illness or a disorder or, you know, for my children, hi, this is English and I am trying to speak it. So many, you know what happens is I have a backlog of thoughts and they all try to like get through. We get a log jam. Anyway, you know, I remember holding my little guys and just having these dreams for them, and it never included them having mental health issues. Like, I had them and I thought I did everything in my power to avoid them having them. It just shows you that mental health is more than just situational or something people can help or get over. that it is truly chemical, it is genetic, and it's something that sadly so many people deal with, but we have, you know, kind of thrown under the carpet or stigmatized. And we'll be talking about that more tomorrow because, again, Jeannie talks about it here in her book, From Grief to Grace. But, you know, it's that dying of a dream that you have to sometimes come to grips with her. It was, you know, realizing that Sarah had Apert's, A-P-E-R-T, Apert's syndrome. And there's so many of us, you know, I think about my daughter, Faith, who was adopted from China. Now, she was abandoned at 10 months old, which is very unusual for abandonment in China. Usually it's right at birth. It's, oh, you're a girl. We can't use you or we can't keep you. Must be so heartbreaking for these families. And they bring the child somewhere where they'll know they'll be found and they're abandoned. Well, Faithy was abandoned at 10 months old, which really says that this family intended to keep her, that they intended to, you know, for her to be their baby girl. And it must have been around 10 months old when they realized that she was profoundly deaf, that she couldn't hear, that there was something wrong, and that they had to abandon her because she just was seen as not a useful contributing member of their family. If you're only given one child and that one child has to care for you, it's not good when that child has a disability that your country has absolutely no services to help them with. So they had to abandon her. And just that death of the dream of having this little girl, and she's so darn cute, it's just difficult, you know? So it's universal. And it does not discriminate. And we get back, we're going to look at more of the reasons why Jeannie talks about grief in a book. No one is exempt from grief. Life is a mystery. And we're going to look more deeply at all of that. And again, don't forget to go to breadboxmedia.com, click on A Seeking Heart, and find out more about how you can become a friend of the show and the wonderful, I think they're kind of fun, benefits you get from being a friend of A Seeking Heart. I mean, who doesn't want a prayer squirrel, right? Go check that out. We'll be right back with more of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart. Alice Jenkins here on Breadbox Media. We are talking the rest of this week about From Grief to Grace, The Journey from Tragedy to Triumph, Jeannie Ewing, Sophia Institute Press. You probably remember Jeannie if you've been a listener for a while. She's been on a couple times, done the indie book day when she had a... I'll have all the information for Friday. Did not do a lot of prep. I think that's been kind of obvious for today. People are like, how do you do it all? Well, answer is I don't. I'm usually just winging it. And that would be like today. Also want to draw your attention to, speaking of winging it, I'm hoping to be winging it to Portugal with the wonderful Diana von Glahn, the faithful traveler. She's planning a Portuguese pilgrimage if you go with me. A Portugal pilgrimage. We talked all about it on the show a few weeks ago. We're going June 9th through the 18th, 2017. So you have a whole year to save your pennies, to plan. We'd love for you to join us, thefaithfultraveler.com, for more information. Make sure if you do register to come with us, and of course I hope that you do, that you find the little box that says you found out from me. So I really hope, because we're trying to go, I want to go, and make sure this trip happens. Portugal, June 9th through the 18th, 2017, thefaithfultraveler.com for more information. From Grief to Grace. So we're going to look at, we're looking now at why a book on grief. So again, she talks about how universal it is. It does not discriminate. Grief is a language all people understand. It is a language of tragedy and hopefully even resilience, because all of us, Jeannie writes, emote typically difficult feelings associated with grief, sorrow, confusion, stress, anger, darkness, sadness, frustration. It is a type of language of the heart that we all speak and understand. It unites all of humanity. It is also a contradiction, because grief is both a blessing and a burden. It is complex and multifaceted, fluid rather than chronological. It affects and afflicts all of us to varying degrees throughout our lifetime. Okay, can we just pause for a second and listen to this beautiful language that Jeannie, like, her book is so readable. Sometimes I get books and I'm so, you know, happy to read people's books and thrilled that people are out there trying to spread God's word, but they're so painful. Jeannie's writing is so beautiful. Talk about fluid, and just draws you in. The second reason she wanted to write a book about grief: no one is exempt from grief. It is quite simply a significant aspect of the human condition, Jeannie writes. We are born into sin and are perpetually affected by sin until, or unless, we enter the beatific vision in the afterlife. And I underlined this because it just jumped out at me in such a big way. All of creation reflects God's glory, but it also weeps with the universal effects of sin. Even if our lives were nearly flawless and perfect, we would still encounter evil and disease in an environment, if nowhere in our environment, if nowhere else. Right? Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. This world is so imperfect. And we're all trying to be perfectly imperfect in it. That's my coin of the week. The words have been really stuck in my head lately. This side of glory, none of us is going to be perfect. Yet we try so hard, and we try to avoid. I try to avoid suffering so much. You have no idea. Like, I think more than half of my prayers are, Lord, protect me from this. Don't let this happen. Like, I, you know, don't want to deal with that, and trying to avoid suffering and all. Always, but it's not possible really to avoid suffering. It's part of our human condition. And I love that Jeannie is in this book, From Grief to Grace, is teaching us how to embrace that suffering that's we're not able to avoid. There's a word there that I can't, yeah, unavoidable. There you go. Unavoidable. She teaches us how to embrace what God is allowing into a life. Remember, he doesn't bring this. Our fallen nature, the world that we live in, brings the bad. God is only good and brings us only good. And he promises in Romans 8:28 to bring good from this. And Jeannie's book, From Grief to Grace, is teaching us that. How do we bring good from this? How do we grasp the grace in it? How do we use our suffering and not let it be wasted? Just happens that all over Twitter today is a whole bunch of posts and pictures with these words that just reminding us that we can't waste suffering. If we just, you know, have an illness and complain and don't look at God's movement in it and just offer that up, as my grandmother used to say, then it's wasted. And God doesn't want anything wasted. He makes good from it, and he promises us that. No one is exempt from grief. And then the third one, life is a mystery. It is in the mystery of the unknown, the unanswered questions, the silence, Jeannie writes, with which we are often met in the most desperate of prayers, where we discover who we are and where we are going. In the darkness, we must honestly face ourselves and consider the possibilities to our rhetorical questions about our existence and purpose. And then I asterisked, starred, circled this paragraph again from Jeannie Ewing, From Grief to Grace. Recognizing, understanding, and navigating our grief can transform the way we view the world and the way we approach what we are incapable of controlling. I'm a control freak. I don't like not being able to control things. Just saying. We truly can discover a lasting interior peace if we traverse this journey as a community of seekers who carry the confidence and hope that we will reach our destinations and one day discover the ultimate joy that awaits us. One of my greatest fears in life is dying. I can speak to 3,000 people and I'm not worried or scared or nervous. There's an old survey out that people are more afraid of public speaking than death. Me, not so much. It's death. And I avoid it. I don't want to talk about it. I get very anxious and upset when I start to think about it. And Jeannie's book has been so comforting. It's not, and I want to just be very clear, this book is not about dying. This book is about grace. It's about God's glory. It's about how we live in a world where bad poop happens. And that the Lord tells us that embrace our crosses daily and follow Him, and He will make grace from them. One final thought from Jeannie I will read here. Before we begin this journey together, I am no formal expert on this topic. Although I do have a background in psychology and counseling, I'm just like you in many ways, shifting through bouts of anger and confusion, setbacks and irritations and frustrations, while occasionally receiving glimpses of joy and peace in the midst of an otherwise chaotic life. You and I are walking different but parallel paths, and this book is where our lives intersect, if only for a time. Oh, she makes me want to cry. Beautiful writing. And we're going to look at a little bit more today of suffering, and then tomorrow the anxiety and depression and dying to our dreams. Oh, gosh, there's so much. This book is huge. Well, I say huge, but it's a couple hundred, 200 pages or so, just jam-packed with nuggets of wisdom and beautiful language and joy and grief from Grace is just a gift. It's really a gift. Grief, Jeannie writes, is also not limited to 5 simple stages. So she talks a little bit about the stages of grief. You've probably heard of these. The denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. This is usually called the Kubler-Ross theory. There is some debunking of that now going on, that we don't go through them in the linear like Kubler-Ross talks about, that we go in and out of them, and that there's other stages, and Jeannie goes into that much deeper in this opening chapter, The Complexity of Human Suffering. I'm going to skip over that because that's really not where I want to focus my attention. But she talks about grief is also not limited to 5 simple stages. Certainly, we have encountered every one of these 5 points in Kubler-Ross's model in our own journeys. And yet, these explanations seemed too generalized for me. They tend to be more frustrating than informative and less. This only exasperates our sense of loneliness and isolation, when what we truly seek is companionship, camaraderie, and relief in the form of community. So we're going to look more about that tomorrow. You can go to sophiainstitute.com/ from grief to grace to learn more about Jeannie's work in creating community for those suffering who are looking to find hope and help in their own grief and their own disappointments, the dying to their own dreams, as may happen in so many ways. Talking about discerning God's will at the beginning of the show. Part of it has been kind of that grieving my dream of what I thought I wanted to be and who God was calling me to be, and now embracing truly what He has. And I know there's going to be enormous blessings in it that I can't even fathom. And I know from reading Jeannie's blog from Love Alone Creates, I've seen that she's discovered those incredible blessings that have come from being Sarah's mother, though in those first few moments of realizing that your dream for this baby were not going to be realized are difficult. So such a great book. I can't wait to talk more about it with you tomorrow. From Grief to Grace, Jeannie Ewing, Sophia Institute Press. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.